I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. There have been so many revelations based on Edward Snowden's leaks and so many stories about the NSA snooping, it's hard to keep them all straight. I mean, how do we write that first draft of history when the history is still unfolding? This week, the National Security Agency added a new wrinkle. In a letter to Congress, the agency revealed the resignation of an NSA civilian employee who admitted giving Snowden access to data he shouldn't have. Snowden had previously said he didn't steal any passwords or trick his coworkers, so you can see the difficulties author Luke Harding must have had gathering information for his new book. It's called The Snowden Files. Harding is a journalist with The Guardian in Britain, and he says it's still not possible to paint a complete picture of the saga.
We still don't entirely know how this extraordinary thing happened. We know what happened, that Snowden swiped a huge number of kind of documents from the NSA servers in Fort Meade while sitting in Hawaii and fled to Hong Kong. But really, I think the agency has been on the back foot trying to figure out how he did it, whether it was passwords, as you suggest, whether it was the fact that he was just extremely clever, extremely good at what he did, and whether actually the NSA itself was kind of sleeping on the job.
Now, your book, The Snowden Files, is really kind of the first pass, the first accounting of what happened last year with Edward Snowden and the NSA. What was your goal with kind of trying to consolidate all the whole saga?
Yeah, well, The Guardian's editor, Alan Rusbridger, kind of called me to one side and really asked me to put it all together days after Snowden outed himself in that incredible video, which I'm sure practically everyone has seen by now from Hong Kong. And
sure,
I think
yeah.
He felt and I felt that this was a sort of historical moment. I mean, obviously, there will be other books on Edward Snowden, but I it seems to me it's a kind of it's something very special. It's something epochal. And Snowden was the guy, whether you see him as a hero or a traitor, who pulled back the curtain, if you like, and kind of revealed the true nature of things, how things really are in this digital age, that actually pretty much of all of our private communications are not really private. They're all being collected and stored and sifted.
Now, some of the details in your book, like Glenn Greenwald and Laura Poitras meeting at a hotel next to a plastic alligator on the lookout for a man with a Rubik's Cube, I mean, it almost seems made up. What details for you still don't make sense or which you still feel need clarifying?
Well, I mean, there are a few gaps in the timeline for sure that we didn't get to the bottom of. We don't know a huge amount about his time in Japan before he moved to Hawaii. But I think the thing that most puzzles everybody is how he ended up in Russia. He was in Hong Kong. He met with Glenn, with Laura, with you and my colleague. He went underground for a couple of weeks. And then he boards a flight to Moscow, where he was staying and hiding. Why precisely he went for that routing, it's not entirely clear. I asked Snowden's lawyer, I met with him, and I said, look, what happened? And he just said, it's complicated. And I'm sure we will find out, but at the moment, there's no proper answer on that.
By the way, do you speak with him regularly?
Well, it's a little bit sensitive, but can I just say that we, as in The Guardian, we are in touch with him, yeah.
So what about your own ability to process a story? I mean, The Guardian is part of the story. How then do you approach the story? And is that a hard act to pull off, to be the rigorous reporter on the story when you are part of it?
Well, it was a kind of Guardian story from the beginning. I mean, the Guardian broke the first NSA story on June the 5th last year when we published the first Snowden document, which showed that Americans' phone records are all being secretly collected, which actually no one knew a year ago. So this absolutely is Snowden's story. And I wrote it rather like a thriller, if you like, because that felt like the most appropriate genre. But it's also the story of the journalists who interacted with him, actually under quite tough conditions, because we were coming under pressure from some very powerful agencies, from the White House and in the UK, in particular from the British government, which was very, very angry about this leaks and more or less threatened to throw us all in jail.
So where does this whole narrative of Edward Snowden, the whole story, where does it sit now and where does it go from here?
Well, Snowden's situation is tricky. When he says he hasn't cooperated with Russian security services or given them his material, I believe him, not because I'm naive, but because it was kind of, for Snowden, it was sort of mission accomplished in Hong Kong. He'd shared this material with some senior journalists whom he trusted. But his options are no options. I mean, the Europeans are furious, but actually neither the Germans nor the French nor even, you know, the Scandinavians have offered Snowden asylum. So he can't go there. Meanwhile, if he goes back to the US, it's pretty clear that he will face espionage charges. So I think by default, he's stuck.
Do you think there will be more whistleblowers? I mean, we've got, you know, Snowden, who's kind of painted himself into a corner in Russia, Julian Assange painted into a corner in the Ecuadorian embassy in London. I mean, what happens now with these types of people who want to say something about what's going
on?
Well,
I think inevitably there will be more because of the kind of the era we live in, that we live in this kind of world of big data, of massive volumes of electronic information. If you think about sort of leaking material, say, in our grandparents' generation, you know, you might be able to stuff a few secret documents into a battered brown leather satchel and kind of sneak out, right? But Snowden took tens of thousands of documents. I mean, he swiped huge amounts of kind of information. And so it's a different world. It's a different world. I mean, I worked on the WikiLeaks story and looked at the documents which Chelsea Manning had got, these US State Department cables in 2010. And there were a lot of them, 250,000 secret cables. And at the time, we journalists, British, American journalists, German journalists, we thought this is the story to end all stories. This will never happen again in our lifetime. And then you fast forward 2.5, 3 years, and not only do you have an even bigger data dump, you have top secret and above top secret. So I think the spy agencies, I think they're still reeling. They'll be looking at ways of shutting this down so it never happens again. But my feeling is sooner or later it will happen again.
Guardian reporter Luke Harding's new book is The Snowden Files. Luke, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.